Good evening, everyone. I'm Qianwen Zhang from Mississippi State University. The topic I'm going to talk about is evaluate camellia senescence germplasm to select superior varieties for Mississippi. Tea is an ancient plant originally grown in forests of China. Tea is the oldest and most popular beverage in the world. It's rich in caffeine and many health beneficial compounds. There is a paper reported that tea is a major source of flavonoid in the U.S. diet. The estimated value of tea consumption in the United States is over $12 billion in 2018. This number is almost seven times the value in 1990, and it's projected to double in the next 10 years. Tea can be found in over 80% of households in the United States, and the United States is the third largest tea importer in the world. So our question is, can we grow tea in the U.S.? The answer is yes. Take Mississippi, for example. The natural conditions we are suitable for tea plants is the warm weather, humid climate, and we have ornamental camellia which share the same family and genus with Camellia senescens. They grow well in Mississippi. However, the diversity of tea varieties in the U.S. is limited. There are few nurseries which provide tea plants. So the objectives of our study is to conduct field evaluation on plant growth performance of 10 Camellia senescens varieties we collected around the U.S., and also to compare nutrient and functional components in different tea varieties. The 10 varieties are BL1, BL2, Black Sea, Christina's Choice, Dave's Fave, Large Leaf, Small Leaf, Sochi, Variety Samica, and Variety Quinquebractita. They were all transplanted in spring 2017. This study is a randomized complete block design. We have four blocks. In each block, we have 10 varieties, and we have 20 subsamples. So totally, for each variety, we have 80 plants. These pictures are the most recent photos of our tea plants in 10 varieties of tea plants in our field. You can see they have many different morphology characteristics. Some are taller, some are shorter, some are upright, and some are spreading. And also they have different leaf size. It need to be mentioned is that the variety Quinquebractita, we only have 1 out of 80 plants survived in our tea field right now. So this variety won't be included in the following charts. Our data were collected from plant growth index, shorted as PGI, single fully expanded leaf area, leaf length and width, fresh and dry weight, and also the fresh rate of 100 new shoots, which include 1 bud and 2 leaves. Our cold tolerance, photosynthesis, soluble solids, and the total polyphenol content. Today, I will only present part of our results in the past 2 years. First, for the PGI in February 2018, you can see BL2 has the highest PGI compared to other varieties. Well, for February 2019, you can see all the varieties they grew up, but for BL2, it still has the highest PGI compared to other varieties. For single fully expanded leaf length and width, the green leaves here, I gave you an impression on the relative leaf size of different varieties. Especially when you compare the largest one and the smallest one, the large leaf and BL1, you can see they are very different. Looking back to our data, when you compare large leaf and BL1, you can see large leaf has almost 3 times the leaf area of BL1. And for fresh weight and dry weight, they show similar patterns as the former charts. No matter black tea, green tea, oolong tea, or almost all kinds of tea, they were all made from the new shoots of tea plants. So we also collect some data from our new shoots on the tea plant. This is 100 new shoot fresh weight in spring 2019. We can see large leaf, it still has the highest number in the fresh weight. However, BL1 no longer ranked in the bottom among all the varieties. Black sea and the small leaf, they have the smallest fresh weight compared to other varieties. Next part, I will introduce our cold damage condition in our tea field. In this chart, the temperature data were generated from the website of USDA NRCS. Those data are local data of Starkville, Mississippi. The light blue line gives you a reference of the 32 degree Fahrenheit. In Starkville, usually the lowest temperature in winter is about 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, in 2017, we have a colder winter than normal. We have 39 days, the temperature is lower than 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And we have 9 days, the temperature is even lower than 20 degrees Fahrenheit. In this point, we can see the lowest temperature in that winter reached to 7 degrees Fahrenheit. It's in January 17th. And in this part, you can see there are some nights the temperature dropped under 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's in March when our tea plants already have new shoot. So this leads to some cold damage on our new shoot. Our cold damage data were collected from the percentage of leaves that show damage symptoms on each individual plant. In this chart, we can see Christina's Choice gets the most severe cold damage in that winter. And also for Dave's Fave and Orietta Samka, they got damage on over 10% of their leaves. These pictures show the cold damage in winter 2017. In the first picture, you can see almost all the leaves get cold damage. They withered, dropped down. Even the stems, they get injured. In the second picture, you can see some leaves, they withered, dropped down, and dead. But the stems, they are still healthy. And in the last picture, you can see some tips of the upper leaves, they got cold damage. These pictures show the cold damage on new shoots in spring, March 2018. Last year, we got a mild winter. We only get 28 days, the temperature is lower than 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And the lowest temperature in winter 2018 is 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Reflecting on our cold damage, we can see the for all varieties, less than 10% of the leaves, they show cold damage symptoms. And especially for Christina's Choice, they no longer get the most severe cold damage compared to other varieties. For photosynthesis, in summer 2018, for the three parameters we measured, we didn't find any significant differences among different varieties. We measured our soluble solids and total polyphenol content on the dried new shoot. For soluble solids content, there are six varieties that have comparable soluble solids content of over 35%. And for total polyphenol content, they have similar pattern as the soluble solids content in summer 2018. Summary, BL2 had the highest PGI, medium-sized single fully expanded leaves, better cold resistant than most of the varieties. Most of variety Kunkui bractita plants died 2 years after transplanting. Large leaf had the largest leaves based on single fully expanded leaf area and weight. Christina's choice had a higher soluble solids and polyphenol contents in new shoots in summer 2018. We would like to thank USDA MDAC Special Crop Block Grant Program, and we also want to thank Special Research Initiative by Mississippi Agricultural and Forestry Experiment Station at Mississippi State University. We also want to thank Jason McDonald and Buddy Lee for their support. Thank you. I can take any questions. Okay, the question is if the except the temperature, if they get more cold damage in lower land?
No, the higher land.
Higher land.
More wind.
Well, for our tea field, there is only a little hills and down, but almost they are flat. So in different block, we couldn't find that influence.
Yeah, because we come from the north part, but always plants get damaged more because the wind, not really the temperature, the wind is really hurt more. For northern part, maybe winter, the dry, so because the wind gets all water in the plants, dry.
Oh yes, I understand. Thank you for your question. Please.
When you interpret those little frost damage, like the spring, you have some new leaf was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
How do they impact growth?
Your question is, how would the spring cold damage on our buds will affect our growth of the tea plants? The answer is actually in 2017 we have a very hard winter. The Christina's choice gets the most severe cold damage, but after that winter it recovers really fast. It grows well. You can see the data from PGI and other data, they grow well. Also for the cold damage on our buds, they maybe give you an influence of you get rid of the tip of the plants. So maybe it will get you more new shoots from other part of the plants.
So it's better for the plant growth?
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your question
is, do I know some commercial production in the United States? I know in Mississippi we have two tea companies. One is from the Jason McDonald, it's a great Mississippi tea company, and the other is from Pearl River, and they produce high quality tea product, and the other they produce bad tea.
How do they harvest?
I know they have a pruner. Maybe they use mechanic sometimes. Also, maybe for the higher quality tea. Actually, I don't know. I need more learn from them. Okay, please.
So in Hawaii, we're starting to do some tea production as mm-hmm. well. But one of the things we've noticed is there's a few fungal diseases that have moved in with some of the germplasm. Did you see a lot of diseases on the different varieties?
Okay, your question is, do we have some fungi diseases in our tea field, actually we didn't find any fungi, but we have some, we have weed, we have bugs, some like that.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna call for questions there. Thank you.
Thank you.